When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to another episode of Best Show Bests, the greatest hits of the best show, with me, your host, Tom Sharpling. If you like what you hear, make sure you join us every Tuesday night on Twitch at 6 p.m. Pacific for a brand new episode of the Best Show featuring callers, celebrity guests, live music, and plenty of surprises. Enjoy!
All right. AP Mike's giving me the high. Do I have the high sign? I do. Okay. Now I'm going to go to the hotline. I'm being told we have a superstar on the hotline.
Hello.
That's what I'm being told. Hello. Is this Jack Black?
Hi, I'm on the hotline.
You're on the hotline. Yeah. We have Jack Black on the Best Show. How are you?
I'm good.
Thanks for doing this.
I'm already starting to sweat.
Don't sweat. This is the easiest thing you'll ever do in your life.
Oh, I know.
Don't worry.
I was just saying because it was a hotline.
Off
to a glorious start.
Here we go. The bar has been set. This bar can be, well, I guess it depends if it's like limbo. If it's limbo, the bar's high because then we can just walk right under.
It's going to be all puns all the time.
Okay.
That's my goal.
All right. We'll keep it wide open for... It's a pun. The pun free zone is now we're disabling that. It is now a pun friendly zone here.
It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be. Oh no, you're really racking them up here. I think you got four on the books already.
I was joking.
You weren't okay. Keep track.
You've got a great show, but what you're missing is puns.
What I'm missing is okay. I'm always looking to improve things around here. Get some some puns.
The pun contingency is spoken.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to keep track on how many you drop on us tonight, and then maybe we'll soften.
Okay.
I'll soften the stance on puns in general. So
I'm going to give myself two puns so far.
Okay. You've got two solid puns.
No, it's probably just a pun and a half.
Okay. Now you've got me wondering if that was a pun somehow, saying it's a pun and a half.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
But there may be some, there could be some unintentional puns.
Okay.
That's usually my way.
All right. People are saying, somebody just said on the chat for this show that you're the punniest man alive. So I'm going to...
Boom.
See? The virus is spreading now. It's like contagion now. You're getting it out there.
Splash. How are you, Tom?
I'm good. How are you?
Do you know that I also am a Tom?
I did know that.
You did know. You already knew that we were brothers and Tom. Are you actually a Thomas?
I am, yes.
As am I, my good friend.
It's a good name that is like not... overdone. It's not Stephen or William. It's that nice next level of...
Well, not lately. There's not a lot of Thomases out there lately.
Yeah. Well...
It's definitely been overrun by, Michaels and Jonathans have taken the lead.
So what made the change?
I'm bringing Thomas back. I named one of my boys Thomas.
Nice. And you needed to make a splash. So Jack fit the bill.
Yeah, you know, it was a nickname. I have my middle name is Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it should be Jake Black would be my nickname.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to take full credit for the Jack Black stage name.
Okay, or it could have been.
There it is.
You could have ended up as TJ Black.
Yeah. What's your middle name, if you don't mind my asking?
It's also a J. It is a John. It's
Hello,
John.
Hello, TJ Sharpling.
How about that? We could bring
TJs
the whole...
in the house tonight.
The two TJs. We could have a show over at... Where would that be? Largo? The two TJs?
Yeah. Hey, are you local? Are you here in Los Angeles as well?
I just was. I just came back. I'm in New Jersey.
Yeah, but you know your LA. You know your hot spot.
Oh, don't I ever.
Largo.
Whether it's Paquito Moss.
I've got a long history with that Largo club.
I know. That was where you cut your teeth.
That's right. That's where me and Kyle got our start.
Yeah.
Early Tenacious D days.
And that's back when
all
it was.
All praise due to the Flanny.
Yeah.
The legendary owner of uh-oh, my boys are coming.
Uh-oh.
Boys, Daddy's on a very important call right now. You go play in the tent.
In the tent?
There's an outer shell door right where Sammy is. If you unzip it, you should be able to get in. I still haven't completed level 7 and 8. Okay. I'm doing a dry run. We're going camping this weekend.
Okay.
And I wanted to do a dry run on the tent, on the lawn.
You're getting the kids
which
ready?
Which is going golden as we speak.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm catching lots of crap for the green lawn.
Uh-huh.
Trust me. I understand. I've stopped the water usage.
Okay. Now...
How's it going in New Jersey? Do you guys have water in New Jersey?
We have plenty of water here. It rains every... It's been a relatively decent summer, but there's plenty of water here. We're not worried about that.
But maybe that could be the answer. If we put a pipeline
just
crisscross across the United States from Jersey straight to California,
yeah,
problem solved.
Look, I would go... You can have some of our water, because look, you go to a place, you go to eat, and then they just don't, you have to ask for the water. Look, admittedly, that's not the hardest thing in the world to ask for a glass of water
at
a restaurant, but I'm fragile.
But if you have a green lawn, people look at you with a raised eyebrow and, oh, really? You need a green lawn, do you?
Yeah.
Good for you, green guy.
AstroTurf might make a comeback.
It's funny you say that. That is exactly what we're gonna do. We're getting some really good AstroTurf. It's called Kick-Ass Turf.
And everybody's gonna start.
I'm gonna count that as a third pun.
Okay. Mark that down, Mike. Mike's my associate producer here on the show. He's been here for 8 years, Mike. 10. Oh God, it's been 10 already.
Oh man.
Yeah. Now, you, sir...
Of how many? How many years were you doing it before Mike came around?
Oh, I don't know. We've been doing the show. We did... this is the fifth... We're the 14th year of it? 15th year?
Damn.
I know. It goes on and on. It just doesn't stop. It becomes like your life's calling. You know what it's like when you have a thing?
Wait a second. So you've been going, basically, since the year 2000. That's when you decided.
Yes. Yeah,
when the world didn't explode, you said, "Wait, there's still hope."
Let's do this. Yes. Oh no, this has been
Y2K was the end, and then you were like, "No, it's not the end."
No,
time for Tom Sharpling's show.
We're gonna give birth to something now out of what could have been the apocalypse of technology. It would have just been
we're gonna
more
give
like
birth to the best show in the world.
Yeah, it would have just been talking around a campfire if Y2K came to fruition.
Was it called the best show back then?
It was, yes. And it was done as kind of like a thing where it was it was supposed to be funny because I had no right to call it that.
Did you loosely base it on, this is going to sound narcissistic, Tenacious D's The Greatest Song in the World tribute?
No, we were on our own thing with that. But that was...
You were on your own narcissistic trip.
Yes, exactly.
The best.
Narcissistic parallel thinking.
You know, our first album came out around that time.
Yeah.
So I guess we were kind of on the same wavelength.
Yeah, I saw you...
When you were a kid, were you obsessed with, like, the best things and, like, the speed of light and the fastest things?
Was I? I don't think so. I think I was probably pretty not, like, I was not a Kiss fan when I was a kid because they were always saying they were the best. I think I was intimidated by anybody who said they were the best. And then maybe as an adult, I was like, fine, I got to start saying I'm the best at some point.
Yeah.
So then I started.
It works. But what's your favorite animal, if you don't mind my asking?
I'd go probably just straight up dogs.
Just straight up dog?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's the animal.
That's trustworthy.
Yeah, I'd want to hang out with the dog. I like petting them. I like watching them in internet videos. I think it would just be dog. I'm not gonna complicate the
matter.
Yeah,
no, you're right. They're cuter and funnier than the rest.
How about you?
But I go straight up cheetah.
So you're kind of putting the rocket boosters it's like a dog with rocket boosters on it.
You can't trust a cheetah.
Uh-huh.
But man, I sure are badass.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a cheetah in real life?
They're the fastest. No, I have not been on safari.
Mm-hmm. Would you ever go on safari? What's the craziest vacation you've been on, Jack?
You know, I don't really vacation well, truth be told. When I get to the vacation spot, I immediately start having some anxiety attacks and thinking, my life is almost over. Why am I wasting it trying to relax?
Mm-hmm.
When do I get home to where I can start getting something useful done?
Yeah, there's work to
be
done. I've
got some projects that I should be working on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, as soon as I'm out on one of these, like, relaxation trips, I start freaking out about Tommy. That was my boy Tommy.
How old is he?
He is 7.
Wow, that's awesome. He's
7.
They're gonna be.
That's Tommy Black Jr.
Good. He's bringing the. He's got the rocket boosters on tonight.
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
he definitely. He usually does.
So you're working like crazy now on stuff. Like you're doing the Brink. You're doing
well. If you look at my Google Calendar,
mm-hmm.
you would say, "Dude, you need to take a rest.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have a coronary."
Yeah.
I need a couple 3 days in my Google.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm gonna make it. If I can just make it through next couple months, I'm gonna have I see some sunshine on the other end.
Okay, that's good.
But yeah, like you say, you got the TV show over there.
Yeah.
On HBO, that political comedy thriller.
Yeah. The Brink.
Yeah, because we're on the brink of a third world war. That's what that's in reference to.
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound funny?
I did get that. That one I did get. The idea of that it was that's what
I didn't get that. I didn't get it until like the third episode when we were shooting. I was like, what is the Brink? Anyway, oh, I get it. The red button.
Yeah. It's like the thing that's on the crew gift. The finger going down the. What was the crew gift for that? Satin jackets. You ever see those? Isn't that funny when you see people walking around Los Angeles with like a Backdraft satin jacket? And then you're just like,
yeah,
man, that dude worked on Backdraft.
You know, they worked on it.
Yeah. It'd be like,
those projects always have like a crew of thousands. So you'll actually see a few of those.
Yeah.
Or you could see two Backdraft jackets in one day would not be a total shocker. But, am I a bad person if I can't remember the Brink crew gift?
No.
I feel like it might have been a satin jacket.
Uh huh. Well, I guess season.
I might have one of those hanging in my closet.
But you can't
wear
it.
I feel like it's a bad look for me to wear, the Brink gear.
Yeah.
Just out and about on a Sunday afternoon.
It seems like the crew can do it, and the director can do it on set when it's like Ron Howard wearing like an Apollo 13 hat.
No one judges him for that.
No. Like, I can buy him with an Apollo 13 hat on as he's directing Apollo 13, But otherwise, it's like you don't go to go see a concert wearing the band you're going to see their shirt. It's like, of course you're a fan of the band. You bought a ticket to it. You don't have to prove it.
It would be pretty bold, though, if you went to see Rush and Geddy Lee was just rocking the Rush t-shirt, like one size too small.
Like,
and yeah, I'm in this band, and I'm rocking you.
Yeah, from like a shirt from like four tours ago. Like he's just wearing like the overstock.
He's wearing the retro. Remember these days, guys? And everyone in the audience would remember.
Or he could wear it.
You
and
know,
then...
I bring that up because I just recently saw the Farewell concert, Rush's Farewell show.
Uh-huh. How was that? How was long?
It's a big deal because it's not the Farewell tour. It's the last show of the Farewell tour. So I feel like maybe special because of that.
Yeah. So they're done now? They're not done. They can't be done.
They said they were done.
You can't keep Neil Peart down with that giant drum set and that beanie. What's he going to do with the beanie? He's got to wear the... He can't wear that beanie on his motorcycle. It'll fly off.
Oh, no. Well, underneath the helmet.
I guess... Yeah, sure. So if you're like at like a rest stop and then a motorcycle pulls in, helmet comes off, and you see a guy wearing a beanie, you're just like, well, there's a good chance that's Neil Peart.
9 times out of 10, the beanie stays in the helmet like a sock stuck in a shoe.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to say I believe them that they are not going to play any more shows together until hell freezes over.
Sure. It's just hard.
Remember that when the Eagles came back?
Yeah.
Hell froze over tour.
Yeah, because they were just, because they all... beat everybody over the head.
It was the famous, yeah.
Yeah. There's a point, though, where people are like, it's like hell didn't freeze over. You dudes just decided you would like to have $100 million more dollars in the bank. It's not that hell froze over. Can you believe the end of times are upon us? It's like, well, no, you guys, somebody slid a number in front of you, and you were just like, yeah, I think we're going to be, I think the Eagles are back.
Yeah, I guess that was all that it was. I don't really know.
But the mythology.
I don't know, did you watch the Eagles documentary?
Oh, I watched it twice, both parts.
And did they not cover the Hell Freezes Over chapter of their...
Boy, did they. They did a thing with that documentary where it's 3 hours long, and the first 90 minutes covers the original run of the Eagles. And then...
That's all I saw. Yeah. I just saw that.
But they give... the current version equal time, where it's like you guys might have this could have been staggered out a little different. I think you could have wrapped up this hell freezes over part in a good 20 minutes, could have gotten the job done for that, but they gave it a full 90 minutes. Hell freezes over. So
my whole takeaway from the first half of that doc was that Joe Walsh is the one that I most want to hang out with and most want to be. Like, if I was going to pick, everyone gets to be one of the Eagles, I would go directly to Joe Walsh and say, I want to be that guy.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
Do you feel the same?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, look, he was in James Gang. He was, that's some of the...
Yeah. He had the tastiest riffs.
Yeah. Song Walk Away. It's like you will go to YouTube. Everybody should go to YouTube. You type in James Gang, Walk Away, and this thing, it's like the heaviest thing you ever saw. It's like a three-piece. They were like a heavy-duty three-piece power trio, and he's just like...
Well, it's like Nirvana. He was like Kurt Cobain. I feel like Cobain might have lifted a couple of his moves off of him, actually.
I would not disagree with that. That's a great... That makes a lot of sense. But
with that kind of rocking back and forth stance that he has.
Yeah.
It's so badass and satisfying.
And then he had his kind of like funny solo stuff too with but then he had the song on the Warriors soundtrack, right? In the City. Remember that?
I don't remember that one.
That's the one that the Warriors...
I need to go back and...
The Warriors were stomping around New York listening to Joe Walsh. Who knew that?
Yeah.
Think about it. It's like it's gangs of... these roving gangs of hoodlums. And what are they listening to? A Joe Walsh song. That's their theme.
Yeah. Not that baseball gang, though. They only listen to Kiss and watch baseball.
Yeah, the baseball furies. That movie is ridiculous. If you watch that movie again, it is...
No, it's been a long time.
You should.
I did enjoy it.
It's
78.
Oh, it's the best, but you realize that all the Warriors would have to have done would have been to have stolen a car at any point on their thing, and none of this would be happening to them if they weren't so big on public transportation. They could have just... They were doing every other crime. They could have just broken into a car, and just driven back to Coney Island.
That was one of those movies where I think they just plugged in. They took The Wizard of Oz and then just plugged in 1970s street gangs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were just following the yellow brick road, basically.
I guess that's all. They're just kind of... They're on whatever journey they're on. It's also like any of the... Look, I'm not smart. I went to a community college. I can't make references to the Odyssey and things like that. But I just kind of like...
Me neither.
I just bluff my way through them like, yes, that's like the Odyssey. Anybody who goes from one place to the other, I just go, yeah, that's like the Odyssey. Homer.
Dude, is that where the Wizard of Oz stole all of their stuff from?
They stole it
from the Odyssey.
I'm just going to say yes to that. Or I'll just say, like, I just know what the reference is, and I'll just go, that's like Heart of Darkness, like Joseph Campbell, Heart of Darkness. And it's like, well, did you ever read Heart of Darkness? Like, oh, no, I read one page of Heart of Darkness, and I couldn't figure it out.
I know. I keep on trying to start reading that. I've read, like, the first 10 pages of Heart of Darkness.
Yeah. Then I end
like 100 times.
Yeah. Then I end up just reading a book about the making of Back to the Future.
I just want to skip ahead to the part where Marlon Brando swallows a bug.
Yeah,
in the original book.
If it's in the source material, I don't know if him saying I swallowed a bug that. Did you ever hear about that teaching, that class that he taught, that Marlon Brando late in life was filming these acting classes? I would love to see. Look, you're a connected guy. You can maybe get your hands on that, right?
I mean, that tape, the film of that class is in the same safe as Jerry Lewis's The Day the Clown Cried.
Yeah.
It's something you're not going to ever see.
Yeah, but they just said, though, that in 10 years, The Day the Clown Cried, I think they found a print of it that'll come out in 10 years.
And Jerry's okay with that?
I don't know if Jerry has any say in it. I think it was like the Library of Congress had it or something, and I think they just were, I don't know. That's what I just read that a few days ago.
Legally, they have to release it.
I think
so. They have to see his stinkiest movie of all time.
Yeah, and Jerry will be coming up on 100 at that point. He's the only one of those dudes who's still alive who saw that. If you think about it, he was like friends with like Chaplin and all those guys.
And no, he wasn't friends with Chaplin.
Oh, he definitely was. He definitely was, yeah. And he's like the only connection to all that showbiz.
I mean, yeah. I just think of him as like one of those dudes. I guess it was his partner that was in the Rat Pack.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like an honorary Rat Packer, kind of, no?
I think they might have.
They never let him into the Rat Pack parties.
There was a lot of eye rolling when he came around.
That fucking clown, get the fuck out of here. But he's of that era. I don't think of him as a Charlie Chaplin dude.
No, but
Chaplin must have been just old as the hills when Jerry came a-knocking.
Yeah, but Jerry was still studying at his feet. I think Jerry would sit down and try to pick his brain for wisdom.
Yeah, so. But you look around, you still see there's still people of that era, but only a small handful, like the World War II vets.
Yeah.
There's still a couple.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, Shirley MacLaine, she was there.
Mm-hmm.
She remembers Hollywood the way it was meant to be remembered.
Yeah.
Not this bullshit now. This isn't Hollywood. You think this is something? This
yeah.
is nothing, Jack.
Yeah. It's not like you go to get your face painted on the wall at the Palm, right? The Palm, they get the caricature
exactly.
of you on the wall.
I don't think I got one.
You
That's
just missed
than
it.
A Hollywood star, though. It's true. If you get your face on that lobster wall, you're golden.
You just missed it. You now could get your picture on the Norms on the wall, right? On La Cienega.
Is Norms doing it? Yeah.
Or maybe they might do it for
you,
though.
We'll see how Goosebumps does.
We'll see how because you have Goosebumps.
Kung Fu Panda 3 just pushes me over the edge. I'll be up on the Norms wall.
When's Goosebumps come out?
Goosebumps comes out, when do you think? Halloween.
Oh, that makes sense.
When else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Kung Fu Panda is going to come out on Christmas. Nope. Because of Star Wars, we moved it to January. Just as good.
That's
Just
fun.
As good.
Well, yeah. Look, it does. Well, look, the kids don't know the difference between December and January.
The kids don't care.
No, they just want to
see
the...
When it comes, they go like, I want to see that now.
They just want to see the Poe with the pandas back again. That's what they want to see.
Yeah.
So with The Brink,
yeah.
talk about heroes...
Yeah.
You started with Tim Robbins when you were just a boy, when you started in Bob Roberts. Now you're like, what's that like?
Well, it started even before that, if you must know, when I was like, I think I was 12, and I went on an audition for a play because I wanted to be a real actor when I was that young. And he was just graduating from UCLA, and he was directing a play that I jumped in. So I actually, me and Tim go back to the early 80s, believe it or not.
That's crazy because he was still not the Tim Robbins everybody knows as Tim Robbins yet, but he had a head start on you though.
He was to me.
Yeah.
He had already been on an episode of The Love Boat. I don't know if he had already done Howard the Duck, but he'd done enough things where I was like, this dude is famous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I remember just thinking he was a god, not just because of the things that he had done on television and film, but just because, like, he was listening to music that I didn't understand. Like, I have a very vivid memory of him blasting, whatchamacallit, the Talking Heads.
Sure.
I just thought he was the Bodhisattva.
Yeah. Because you're probably a sponge at that point looking for because somebody to take you to the next place.
It wasn't until about 10 years later that things really kicked it into overdrive because I joined the Actors Gang Theater after I dropped out of college, and then he directed his first film, Bob Roberts, and that's when I got my first movie. Was off of that?
Yeah, yeah.
I started in that.
Yeah, and you did that other movie with him, which nobody talks about. The Cradle Will Rock.
That's right, and I also had a little part in Dead Man Walking. I've been in all the movies he's directed, all three movies he's directed. But yeah, Cradle Will Rock, that was a big sprawling epic about the olden days with Orson Welles. And it was actually a cool historical movie.
Yeah. Nobody Pretty talks bad. About that movie. It's crazy.
How come there's a conspiracy not to talk about Tim Robbins' epic movie, Cradle Will Rock?
I don't know. I think we might be turning the tide right now on it, though. You know what other movie?
I heard Leonardo DiCaprio adores the film.
Really? It's a good
maybe
movie.
Talk about that.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember liking it a lot. You were also in Mars Attacks when you were...
That's true.
Which is one of my favorite movies. I remember seeing that in the
in my early days, yeah. Tim Burton gave me the nod, gave me a little bone.
Yeah. And I, you know what he said? Somebody said once, that Tim Burton said once in an interview where he was like, there's a, he was watching, like, he has like a cut of the movie with no Martians in it, like no CGI in it. I would want to see that. Could you imagine what that must look like? Everybody just acting against nothing? That'd be the greatest movie.
That would be a fun thing to release. One night only.
Just one night. Seriously, one night, $100 a ticket. It's $100 a ticket. You get to watch Jack Nicholson act again, like arguing with a nothing. Like he's just yelling at nothing in front of him. You're running through a battlefield getting shot at by nothing. Everybody's fighting. Jim Brown is fighting nothing out on a race. Just punch in the air out on the tarmac.
It's just called attacks.
Yes, just attacks. That would be, oh my God. Look, after you spring the Brando tape,
yeah,
then you're going to have to spring this CGI-free version of Mars Attacks. So you have your work cut out for you.
I do wish I could go in a time capsule and get into that acting class, though. Because I do think Marlon Brando is the greatest actor of all time.
And that's, just to have him just talking about acting. And then that dude who did American History X showed up dressed like Osama bin Laden at one of the things.
Did that go down?
Yeah. Tony K. Yeah, crazy. He like just showed up. It was like 3 weeks after 9/11. This guy's showing up dressed like Osama bin Laden to an acting class to freak everybody out.
Whoa.
And I think Brando bounced him from the session. I'm telling you, I got to get my
hands. I heard Sean Penn would wander into those sessions, too.
Oh.
I mean, the thing, here's what proves it, though, that Marlon Brando is the best actor of all time.
Yeah.
If you look at films before Marlon Brando started acting, like before his Streetcar or whatever the first movie he ever did was.
Yeah, yeah.
All the acting was kind of affected. It had that certain kind of cheese. See? They didn't all sound exactly like that, but they all had that sort of like...
It's like radio. They were talking like they were on radio, almost.
Exactly. There was just no one was really real until Brando hit the scene, and then it was like, holy crap, that guy's not even acting. He's just a real guy.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah. Seems like
a crazy, weird acting revolution.
Yeah. Seemed like an uncaged gorilla
was caused
all of a sudden. Like,
and then after he started, everyone started getting real. You know what I mean? There was the before and after effect of his realness.
Well, that's what it's like to change. That's what it's like to change the world. You know? That's what it's like.
That's what happened after the best show.
You know what it's like. You look in the mirror. You know what it's like to see that looking back at you. So what's Tenacious D? What is the status of Tenacious D?
Well, you know, we put on a comedy music festival once a year now.
Yeah.
So we're trying to pull a Perry Farrell and start our own comedy palooza, if you will.
Sure.
But it's called Festival Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
So we're keeping busy with that. It's kind of actually getting in the way of our next album, because all of our thoughts and dreams and aspirations and brain matter goes towards this fucking festival.
Yeah.
Which I love to do, by the way. I love to do it. It's a party, and you work on it all year, and then there's just an explosive, like, day of reckoning.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it all comes down. Like, that morning, you wake up, and you're looking in the mirror. You're like, Welp, the next time my head hits a pillow, this went down already. Right?
Exactly.
That feeling when
it's
you're just
gigantic.
Like, this is the last morning I wake up before doing the Festival Supreme. Next time I go to bed, it's in the rearview mirror.
Exactly. And it's coming soon. It's October 10th.
That's going to be heavy. That's crazy. That thing's huge.
It's good because it's just we invite all of our favorite people, and they come on, and they do whatever they want. And it's just a fun way to do a show.
Mm-hmm.
But we have plans for another album.
Okay.
We have very specific plans. We have a very specific theme and a very specific sort of, like, direction we want to go. But we've written zero songs.
Okay.
So look for that somewhere around 2020, probably.
Okay, you'll get it. Look, you'll get it. Don't be nice to yourself.
Maybe 2018.
Be nice to yourself, Jay.
If we turn on the overthrusters.
Yeah, just like a cheetah, right? You got to be like,
I'm dying to tell you what it's going to be.
Don't.
I love it.
Don't. Look,
but I can't.
As much as I want to know, I don't want to know. I don't want, you know what it comes down to?
No.
I want to know. I don't want these listeners knowing, though. That's the thing. I want to know. But
that's when we'll, okay.
We'll figure it out.
You and me, when I see you.
Yeah.
Whereabouts in New Jersey are you, exactly?
Right outside New York. That's all I can say. Right on the edge. We straddle.
Are you near Passaic?
Something like that. Yeah. Capitol Theater.
I did a movie in Passaic.
You did. You did. Yeah. You did. Be Kind. Rewind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michel Gompli.
Yes. You were on the streets of Jersey. The guy who screens calls for me, AP Mike. He lives in Bayonne. And all he talks about is that War of the Worlds film there. And he once saw Tom Cruise eating at a burrito, and he stared at him through a window. Like, that's what they do there. And that's because the guy who did Game of Thrones, George R.R. Martin, grew up in Bayonne. And Tom Cruise filmed War of the Worlds there, and that's all they talk about there. And there's also a guy.
Well, that's all they need.
Yeah. Well, that's, look, it's enough to get by.
You got the guy who wrote Game of Thrones?
Yeah, but he.
Come on, that's special enough.
He got out of there as fast as he could.
Did they have a plaque or a bust up yet?
No. I think they ran him out of town. I think that was the kind of guy who got picked on when he was there, and now he'll never go back again.
Yeah, he'll go for the unveiling of the bust. Of the glorious statue of him sitting on a throne.
Then they can all pick on him.
Come back for that.
Right when he gets there, then they're just like, then they give him another wedgie, one final wedgie when they get him back there, right? Finally get him back within the Bayonne city borders. Well, you're back. Get ready for a wedgie, George, just like when you were 9.
You'd have to be crazy to give George a wedgie now. With the followers he's got?
You see these animals in Bayonne. You clearly have not been to Bayonne.
I've not been to Bayonne.
No, a lot of tire fires. A lot of tire fires. You ever see that movie Judgment Night?
No.
Remember Judgment Night when it was Dennis Leary was a gang leader, and then they had their RV. They were in their party RV, and they got stuck in like a bad neighborhood.
You're not thinking of Demolition Man?
No, that's Stallone. That's Stallone and Snipes.
Yeah, but Dennis Leary was also in there.
He was.
And he was also a gang leader.
Who was the star of, I got to find out now real fast. I'm not going to, look, I'm not, first of all, I'm not going to take all your whole night from you here. You're a busy guy. But I got to tell you who's in Judgment Night. Let's see here.
You're probably right. He was probably getting typecast as the leader of a gang.
Let's see, Judgment Night. Did I spell Judgment wrong? Oh, boy, I'm dumber than I thought.
I think you might be thinking of Judge Dredd.
Now, here we go. Emilio Estevez. Cuba Gooding Jr.
Boom.
They were driving. Four friends on their way to a boxing match get caught in heavy traffic, so they take a shortcut in order to get there faster. Unfortunately, it leads to them witnessing a murder, which leaves them running for their lives. So they see a murder from their little RV, and then Dennis Leary's chasing after them.
And he's smoking, chain smoking the whole time?
Yeah, he's yelling about Cindy Crawford and chain smoking the whole time. He goes a little bit out of character.
Now, I wonder if he throws some puns in there, throws some one-liners in to break the tension.
Yeah.
He just stays the heavy bad guy the whole time and never breaks.
Look at this cast. Estevez, Gooding, Leary, Stephen Dorff, Piven.
Damn.
Man, that's when movies were movies.
That's a can't-lose scenario.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of can't-lose scenarios.
Get the farm on that opening weekend.
You... Look, I know you got
Estevez,
a book.
Estevez had some tasty ones, though. I loved Repo Man.
Repo Man. I just watched Repo Man 2 weeks ago. I just watched that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Harry Dean Stanton, all sweaty. Oh, that guy sweats
it
in every movie,
up.
Right?
It holds up.
Every movie, that guy's sweating.
There's not many really good movies that really have the punk rock vibe, aesthetic, and soundtrack.
No.
Repo Man is one.
That is one. That's legit.
Repo Man is one.
Got the circle jerks in that thing. And you got Harry Dean Stanton. Looks like he was just judging a chili contest. He's sweating so much.
Was he fresh off of Paris, Texas? I think that was right in like Harry Dean's like, he's on a tear.
Right around that time. You ever do a movie with Harry Dean Stanton?
No. I'd love to.
Get him in... See if you get him in Goosebumps. Maybe shoot something real quick. Tacking on like in those.
You know, we still got a couple months.
Yeah. Do it like those, like the Marvel movies.
Scary right now.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, suddenly, I think I have the scariest character for all of Goosebumps. Harry Dean Stanton as himself. He's going to just play himself in this thing. And suddenly Goosebumps has an R rating. you're in front of the review board trying to get it down from an NC-17 to an R. You thought you did a kids movie. Oh, well, look, I know you're busy, Jack. I appreciate you taking the time out to be on the show, and
my pleasure.
And anytime you want to call and goof off, you the door is, it's an eternal green light for you. And final thing I wanted to ask you before I...
Yeah?
We did a thing last week on the show where we had a lawyer on the show who was... We were presenting things from movies where we're saying, like, hey, what would the real-life crime that this person committed in this be? Like, what would... Like, Ferris Bueller, like, what did he do? Well, he stole a car... And he did this, he did that, and then the lawyer was like, he'd be looking at, 12 years in jail, so for all these things.
Uh-huh.
One movie that got brought up was School of Rock got brought up.
Yeah.
In terms of, now get a load of this, if your character was a Dewey was the character from that?
Yeah, Dewey Finn.
He would have been charged with false pretense... And first-degree kidnapping.
Oh, yeah.
And the lawyer said, what do you think the sentence would be for your character for that movie?
Death penalty.
Well, very close. The lawyer said, literally, life in jail. You would be... Your character would have been in jail for life for kidnapping a classroom full of children and taking them off campus. Different angle on the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, they really let me off with a slap on the wrist.
Because the kid sounded...
I don't know how I got out of that tight situation.
It's because the kid sounded good.
I had to rock my way out of a tight situation.
If the kids were terrible, you would have been in jail for life. If, like, you were not good at rock, then they would have been... They would have thrown the book at you.
Yeah.
Oh
my God.
So
that's a good factoid.
Yeah, it was crazy. This lawyer was unbelievably funny talking about these things that Weekend at Bernie's dragging that corpse around. They're dragging that corpse around all weekend. Yeah. The lawyer said, that would not be unless they exhumed the corpse, there's not much I could go on here with that. These guys would probably just get 6 months in jail at best. And they were dragging a body through parties and putting hats on his head and everything. 6 months in jail, but your character, life in prison.
Yeah.
So.
It makes sense.
Does make sense, yeah.
So that felt like we were really breaking some major rules.
You were posing as a teacher, falsifying documents. Yeah. So. Well, look, The Brink is really funny. I think The Brink is great, and it's coming back again. So I guess that's next year,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we've got another season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we get another crack at it next year.
And people can watch that on HBO. And then later in the year, Halloween, they see Goosebumps. And then when 2015 becomes 2016, they go see Kung Fu Panda 3.
Dude, yes. If you got little ones, line them up.
That's
line
right.
Line them up for the JB Fest.
Right now. Get outside that theater now. So,
yeah.
And then if you're in California, L.A., Festival Supremes in October.
Even if you're not, you might consider visiting Los Angeles October 16th. It's going to be that good.
It is. Who's that? Just throw some names at people. Throw some names at people to.
We got Mystery Science Theater reunion. We got Kids in the Hall reunion. We got Amy Poehler going to throw down.
Okay.
We got Kristen Schaal going to be incredibly funny.
Yeah.
We got Guy Antwoord, this unbelievable rap act out of South Africa.
Yeah. They turned Chappie into a they're the ones who messed with Chappie. Right?
Exactly. The Darkness going to throw down some English rock.
That's
also funny. We got an old punk rock outfit you might be familiar with, by the name of Rocket from the Crypt.
Oh my God, that's awesome!
They rock extremely hard.
Awesome.
Dan Deacon gonna tell the audience what to do.
He's good.
We got Tenacious D. They're gonna do a full live jazz set.
Full jazz set.
You ever hear of this guy Puddles the Clown?
I've heard the name.
He's like 8 foot tall.
Okay.
White face, a traditional clown. Comes out mumbly, very depressed, and then he sings the most heartbreaking opera you've ever heard, and it shakes into your soul.
I have seen that. Yeah, that's
Puddles.
Okay. All right. So this is...
There's too many people. I can't remember. There's like 40 amazing, but it's a whole day of best of us.
Well, that's fantastic. People should go to that if they're out there, or not out there in October.
Yeah.
Wow.
And if I'm out there, I'm expecting a little quality time with TJ in the TJ Club.
Don't worry, we're coming. We'll get it going.
You and me, maybe some barbecue. What is New Jersey known for? What's the cuisine that people always say, you got to try the New Jersey
Arby's.
Short ribs?
Arby's.
What is it?
Arby's.
Arby's?
Yeah. Our Arby's are a little better than the rest of the country.
It's a date.
Well, I'll meet you there. A big beef and cheese.
Okay. Yeah. I'm salivating already.
All right. Well, I think the right now paparazzi in LA listening to this, they're putting two and two together. They might want to get outside that Arby's on Sunset with the giant hat, and get a nice couple snaps of Jack Black at the drive-thru.
Nonsense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brangelina at Mickey D's. Has there been such a scoop?
Well, Jack, I can't thank you enough for calling and talking. It's so much fun.
The pleasure was mine, absolutely.
Well, we were
I'm going to take you up on it. I'm just going to start calling willy-nilly.
Please, you do whatever you want.
But are you always recording? Is that how it works? You're always broadcasting?
We do the show every Tuesday night. Every Tuesday night. Any Tuesday night you find you're sitting around, you just call. We'll pick up.
Okay. That's weird because zero people have called during this session.
Oh, I got to. I'm not.
But I would be welcome to call and interrupt your next session.
You
next
do.
Tuesday night, whoever that might be.
Whatever it is, you do. You have a lifetime pass.
Can we say who it's going to be next Tuesday?
I'm figuring it out. I can't say who's going to be here next Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. We can't talk about that.
I don't want to tip it yet.
No, that's like, yeah.
It's just like, it would be like you giving out the Tenacious D concept. You can't do it yet.
Exactly. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that. That could actually get a lot more listeners listening.
Yeah, why would I want that?
It's going to be on next Tuesday.
Yeah, why would I want that?
Let's keep it down low.
Well, it comes down to I want to make sure that they're actually going to show up is what it comes down to. I don't want to start throwing names around. It's like, yeah, I can't do that. And then everybody tunes in listening, and then it's a giant goose egg wondering where...
Dude.
Yeah.
I know how you feel.
Yeah, well...
Did you ever throw a party when you were a kid and nobody came?
No. No, I never even had the wherewithal to throw a party.
When I was like 9, I threw a Halloween party. Nobody came.
Oh.
I was just sitting there all sad in my Gene Simmons costume and the bobbin for apples, just sitting there alone. And then my friend from across the street came, but he doesn't count.
No.
He's Rodrigo from across the street.
He's got to come. Well, look.
He had to come.
At least you got more shots.
He was Ace Frehley, and his costume was way better than mine.
Yeah. At least that.
Dad, Ace Frehley, and Gene Simmons.
Yes, sitting around looking for Paul Stanley and Peter Criss to show up.
Staring at soggy apples and just,
You know. Lisa,
those are the times that shape us, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. You looked in, you did, that happened to you, and you said, never again, right? Never again.
A life of comedy. I laugh at my misfortune.
They'll love me. They're going to love me. They'll be begging to get into my Halloween party.
But still, when Halloween rolls around, there's this pang of anxiety that hits me in the middle of the night.
Well,
no one's coming.
Yeah. Well, you know what? One way to get past that, if anybody has a similar story, they should probably go see Goosebumps, right? That's a way to get past
that. Thank you for bringing it around.
To get past that.
It's the only way to heal the Halloween blues.
And if the holidays are a little rough on you, you got sure, you go see the Star Wars movie, but then you just also make sure you're going to see Kung Fu Panda 3.
When January rolls around and you got that holiday hangover, there's no antidote like Kung Fu.
Yeah. KP3.
I'm making myself sick.
KFP3. Yeah, me too. I got to stop. All right. Look, you
all
have
right,
fun.
Tom,
have fun camping.
I'll talk to you again soon.
Talk to you soon. You take care.
Thank you.
All right. All right, bye.
Bye.
See that, Mike? That was fun, right? He was goofing around.
The Best Show is produced in partnership with the Forever Dog Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Tom Sharpling and features John Worster, Michael Lisk, Jason Gore, and Pat Byrne. The show is produced and written by Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Michael Lisk, Brett Davis, John Worster, and Tom Sharpling. The Best Show is executive produced by Tom Sharpling, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Co-executive produced by Jason Gore and Pat Byrne, segment producer Michael Lisk. The show is engineered and mastered by Andrew Gleason and Wesley Knapp. Graphic design, video editing, and social media by Brett Davis. Website and technical support by Martine Sellis. And the show is recorded at Forever Dog Studios in Los Angeles. Support The Best Show on Patreon over at patreon.com/thebestshow. And follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Best Show for Life. That's Best Show 4 Life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.